Hallelujah.
Good morning. God bless each and every one of you. As you know, we have been doing a study in the book of Revelation. It's been maybe almost 2 years this study has been going on. We are in Revelation chapter 21. One more chapter and we're done with the book of Revelation. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We've been talking about it. We've been verbalizing it. And the word of God says that there is a blessing. Amen. There is a blessing when we verbalize and we read the book of Revelation. So we are a blessed people. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Amen?
Okay. So in chapter 20, we saw the final battle, right? After the millennium, right?
Mm-hmm.
We saw the final battle, and Satan was cast into the lake of fire. Do you remember that?
Amen, yes.
And previously, amen, the false prophet and the Antichrist
was thrown into the bottom.
Were cast into the lake of fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the unholy Trinity, because Satan always tries to repeat, or he tries to
copy.
Say that again.
Copy. Mimic.
To copy and mimic the things of God, right? So now we're at a point where these three adversaries have been thrown into the lake of fire. So we begin chapter 21 at this point. Now, as you know, I like people to read for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That makes it easier. And this is a study. Amen? So I'll take anyone who's willing to read the first verse of Revelation 21.
Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now I saw, right? Now I saw. Amen. Hallelujah. A new heaven and a new earth. Can you fathom a new heaven and a new earth? And no sea. No sea. Hallelujah.
Ooh,
if you know,
yeah.
if you look in the Old Testament and you look in the New Testament, there are many scriptures which align with this, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. Now remember, it's not a new universe, right? It's a new heaven and a new earth. Remember that God is beyond the universe, right? God is above, above, above. I think Paul said that he went to the seventh heaven, right?
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the earth, what you see is our heaven and you see our space. But God is beyond that.
Hmm.
So that's not being recreated or created anew. It's a new earth and a new heaven. Hallelujah. And if you look at Isaiah, and you can write the scriptures down, Isaiah 65, 17 to 18, it says this. For, and this is the Old Testament, and we're in the New Testament right now. It says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind.
Wow. Ooh. Wow.
But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create a Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people of joy, a joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the Old Testament speaking about this new heaven, this new earth. Would you go to 2 Peter chapter 3? Verses 12 to 13. When you find it, say amen. And whoever finds it first, read it.
12 through what?
Second Peter chapter 3, verses 12 to 13.
12 and 13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a minute. Amen.
If you have it, read it.
Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Fervent heat.
Nobody else.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes.
A new heaven and a new earth. You know that this earth is being destroyed day by day. Everything that is done wrong to this earth, ecologically, you know, not ecologically, but the geography of the earth, right, is being destroyed. All this coal mining, all this fracking, all these things that earth is being destroyed. God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in Luke 21:33, somebody go to Luke 21:33.
Luke 21:33.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away.
Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away. The heaven and earth that we know will pass away. Amen. God's words will be fulfilled.
That's right.
So you can trust God. Whatever God says to you, you can bank on it, like we like to say. Amen.
Yep.
It is settled. The word of God says that his word is settled in heaven. What happens is that we give up. Mm-hmm. We give up. And in giving up, you more or less nullify. You give up. You say things that are negative.
Uh-huh.
So we have to stand on the word of God, whatever God's word says. And, you know, he says, put me in remembrance of my word.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
Glory to God. So we're going forth to a new heaven and a new earth. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 2. Let's go to verse 2.
His word.
In Revelation, I'm sorry. In Revelation chapter 21, let's look at verse, the second verse. Always keep your hand in there because that's where we are.
Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Amen. Praise God. Remember that the final battle took place. Amen. The nations of the earth that came against Jerusalem have been defeated. Mm-hmm. God defeated them. Hallelujah. So now this is the new heavens, the new earth that God is going to bring forth. Amen?
Amen.
So Mark, you said a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what kind of community is this going to be? Amen.
A righteous
community. No sin.
Oof.
No sin. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because who is the one that brings sin? Satan.
And who's been cast
already.
And he's been cast in the lake of fire. So this is a new community. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be something unique. Something we have never seen. We have never experienced on this earth from the first day that Adam and Eve sinned. sin came into the world. Amen.
Amen.
And it says a new Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. And what does it say? A holy city. A holy city. Pure righteousness. Hallelujah. Amen. A community of righteousness. No lying. No sinning. No trying to get over on anybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Not trying to make anyone feel less than anyone else. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
We've never seen that. I don't even think that we can rightfully imagine such a community.
Yeah.
Right? It's like in the 60s. Those of us that grew up in the 60s, you remember this utopia? This perfect city that's what they were trying to do, going to communes and cults and trying to create this perfect city. Never happened. Never happened. Hallelujah. And what do you think this is? He says, what did he say, Mark? New Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
Coming down out of heaven.
Heaven.
From God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
As a bride. Amen. Hallelujah. The perfect bride, right?
That's, hallelujah.
That's a metaphor, right? That's a metaphor, a bride, because it's not a bride coming down from heaven.
No.
Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know who the bride is. The bride is the people of God. We're the bride.
People of God.
Yes. So he gives this image. He gives this image because in his time, that was purity. That was holiness. This beautiful bride. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, you know, it says a holy city. So, you know, people always say, oh, somebody passed away. Oh, he's an angel. She's an angel. Ooh. That's not, you know, people say that.
Yeah.
That's not biblical.
No,
it's not biblical. This is literal. It's a city and people, and we're going to have activities. Amen. And we're going to have a life. Amen. The way God had purposed it to be originally. Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. So amen. Somebody read verse 3.
I'll read it. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. So this has to impact you. This has to impact you. Behold, the tabernacle of God will be with men. See, in the Old Testament, you had a tabernacle.
Amen. Yeah.
But where was God in that tabernacle? Where was he?
In the holy place within the tabernacle.
In the holy of holies. Because you had the outer court, mm-hmm. you had the holy place, and you had the holy of holies.
Mm-hmm.
And who could go into the holy of holies?
The priest. The high priest.
He was the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, mm-hmm. where the presence of God was. But this says that God will be with his people. Amen. It says the tabernacle of God.
It's with men.
Amen. And it's not a tabernacle.
No.
It's the presence of God himself.
Yes.
It's not an actual church. Amen. Or tabernacle. Amen. And he will say, will dwell with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we're speaking of what time? What time are we speaking of? Eternity, right?
Yes.
Right? We're going into eternity. So God is going to dwell with us. God is going to live with us
for
eternity. For eternity, the presence of God will be there.
Amen.
It's an actual city. Okay, we'll get there. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know,
yes.
God's desire from the very beginning was to be with his creation.
Yes.
He was walking through the Garden of Eden. He was talking to Adam and Eve. He fellowshipped with them until they sinned. And that was the last time.
Mm-hmm.
But he is going to be eternally with us, the presence of God. Hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It's always been his desire.
Hallelujah.
We know that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth coming down from heaven. And it's called the New Jerusalem. Amen.
Amen.
And God will be there with us in that place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Read verse 4, somebody.
And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So in the New Jerusalem, there will be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Amen.
Amen.
The former things have passed away.
Amen.
This is hard. This is kind of hard for us to comprehend. No more pain, no more sorrow. The former things have passed away. So everything that was wrong has passed away. And we will have no remembrance of it.
Right. It's like when a woman gives birth.
Yeah. Later, when the baby is born, you have no remembrance of your pain. There will be no remembrance because why? Remembrance of former things would cause heartache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's hard to swallow, but it'll be easy then. Amen?
Yes.
Any wrong that has been done to you will be gone. You won't even remember that.
You won't even realize.
Every rejection that you went through, you will no longer remember.
Right.
Every hurt inflicted upon you, you will no longer remember.
Hallelujah.
It'll be
no more.
A time that you are totally, totally healed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The former things are no longer. The former things. Things that hurt you will be no longer.
Amen.
Amen.
We have to recognize that God is sovereign and God will do what is right. Don't cry, Lizette. God will do what is right. Amen.
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 You have to trust God.
Yes.
He's our creator.
Amen.
He created us. He knows what's going to fill our hearts with joy. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, somebody read verse 5.
Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful."
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Who's speaking?
God. Jesus God. Is speaking to John.
God is sitting on the throne. God himself is speaking.
Yes.
How more authoritative can you get? God is speaking. Amen.
He said,
"Behold, I make all things new." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, the same promises. I make all things new. God is doing that. You know, we think that we know everything about God. We think we have all this knowledge. But how possibly can we comprehend God? He is the infinite. Infinite. We are finite. He is infinite. He's the creator. We don't know the things that he has done in the past. You know, we don't know. There may have been worlds that he created in the past. That's my opinion. There may have been. What I'm trying to point out is that he's speaking directly and he says, "I make all things new."
That's it.
So don't carry sorrow in your heart.
Nope.
Don't carry sorrow because he's in control. He is the sovereign God. He will make all things new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We will have freedom from sin, everything new. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Do not sorrow. Do not sorrow. God is sovereign. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Give it to him. What's on your heart? Give it to him and let it go. Surrender it to him. He's going to make everything new.
Yes.
He's going to make everything new. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Let's read 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4. 16.
6 Corinthians 4:16.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day.
Amen. 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 You see, the inward man is being renewed. God is changing us, renewing us day by day. And those you love, God is renewing them and will renew them day by day. Amen.
Amen.
Our job is to pray. It's to seek God. Because no one can change anyone's heart.
Nope.
Only God can do that.
Amen.
And so we carry this burden that we don't have to carry.
That's
if we
good.
Let go and we give it to God, then we trust him. God is going to do what is right. Amen? Because, amen, amen, he knows everything. And like it says here, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed. We are going to be renewed. We are being renewed. And when it comes time to go, we will be totally transform.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And you know what? What does it say in 2 Corinthians 5:17? And that's someone that that's a verse that we all should know. I'm going to read it to you. It says, therefore, and then you guys are going to know it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right?
Amen.
All things have become new. Your old life has passed away. Your old life has passed away. And like I've always said, right? He says that he will, your sins will be white as snow. Amen. I always say no fishing in my sea because that's old, right? No fishing. Don't try to fish in my sea because I'll say, who are you talking about?
No fishing is allowed.
No fishing allowed in my sea. I'm telling you. All things have become new.
That's it.
Hallelujah. And I appreciate that. I had one time a pastor's wife said to me, she said, Ruth, you're not who you were. You know, trying to emphasize. You're not the person you were before. And don't let anyone bring that up to you. Don't let anyone say, we've all committed sin. We've all made mistakes. There is none holy but the Lord Jesus Christ.
None.
That's it.
And if you know me, I get very offended when people try to act holier than thou. It really bothers me.
Thank you.
That bothers me because only God is holy. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We are being renewed day by day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Things Jesus affirms in Philippians 1:6. That God always finishes what he begins.
Amen.
So the work that God began in you, he will bring to completion, perfection.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 6. Somebody read verse 6.
Revelation?
Yeah.
And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts.
He continuously affirms affirms what he's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, right?
Amen.
The first and last letter of the Greek alphabet.
Yes.
Amen. You know, when John, remember, who's getting this vision?
John.
Who's receiving this vision?
John.
And who's it coming from?
God.
Jesus. It's coming from God, Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's what it's coming from. Because when Jesus, let me just get there. Okay, it's coming from Jesus because he's the one that's giving John the vision. He said when in the beginning on the island of Patmos, John describes him. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we know that it's Jesus that's given him. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to John the Baptist. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he says to him, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. God in three persons, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the person of Jesus that is speaking, who is, who was, and is to come. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. He's the one that was here on earth. He's the one that is coming again. Amen. But mm-hmm. he is Almighty God because we believe in the Trinity. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it's God in the person of Jesus that's speaking. And then he says, anyone who thirsts will receive from, I will give of the fountain of water freely to him who thirsts. Mm-hmm. Again,
metaphor.
This is a metaphor, right?
Right.
He's not going to give you a glass of water.
We know that, Ruthie. We know.
So what is he giving you?
Eternal life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you remember when Jesus met the woman at the well?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he said to her, whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never be thirsty
again.
The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Amen.
That's John 4:14. So what is he saying? I give this freely. I'll give eternal life to whomever desires. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You have to desire.
Amen.
You have to desire. That's why we have to let people know. That's why we have to let our loved ones know. The gift is there. You have to accept it. You have to receive it. You know, many times we think that because we preach to our family members, to our children, that they get it. But sometimes you have to say, sit down and just listen to me and let me explain. This is a gift, God, what he did on the cross. But you have to accept it. You have to accept it. You have to accept him as Savior and Lord. Mm-hmm. And if you do that with your heart, don't worry about what else you have to do because he will effect the changes.
Amen.
He will effect them.
Amen.
He will begin to bring change in your life.
Amen.
There are many that have not accepted him with their hearts. And yeah. those that, you know, many people come to the altar because somebody forces them.
Mm.
But you can't. It's got to be, what did Jesus say? No one can come to the Father.
No one can come to me,
but that the Father call him.
Call him.
And then the Father said the same thing. No one can come to him but that Jesus. They come through Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we can't force anyone. We can give them the word. We can plant the seed. Then we can ask the Holy Spirit of God to anoint that seed, to bring revelation so that they come to the cross, so that they can have eternal life.
Eternal life.
We're going into eternity. Don't be so concerned with this life. Become right. eternity minded. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Don't be gone. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then verse 7, he says,
yeah.
Somebody read that. It's yeah. very, very simple.
He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So like I said before, you overcome how? How do you overcome? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will inherit all things. All things that God has for us, we will inherit. All things that God has for believers, they will inherit. And we will be the children of God, the sons and Amen. Daughters of God.
Amen.
How do you treat your sons and daughters?
Very
great.
Good.
Right.
That's
right. We love our children.
And there's no perfect love other than that love of God. So imagine God's love for us.
His children.
Amen. Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise this the is, Lord.
Amen. This is hope. This is our future. This is about the Lord, the hope of glory. Jesus is the hope of glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does verse 8 say?
Verse 8 says, I lost it, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerer, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which Amen. Is the second death.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the great white throne judgment when all unbelievers will be thrown in the lake of fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And there's not much I'm going to say on that because it's rather obvious, right?
Yes.
Those that never accepted Christ will be thrown into the lake of fire, which we say hell. You know, we call it hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's go to verse 9. Somebody read verse 9, 10, and 11. So let's give somebody else
Hector.
A chance. 9,
Hector.
10, and 11.
Let Hector read.
Oh, thank you, Liz. Who wants to read?
I think he's muted.
Hector, do you want to read? You are muted. That's what the girl said.
Hector, you there?
He can.
Well, whoever, whatever. I'm just
trying to find it.
Here he is.
Amen. Do you want to read?
If I could find it on my phone, because I'm using the phone Bible.
That's right.
Okay.
We're in Revelation 21, verse 9.
Leopard is an important image mentioned. Wow.
All right, we have to have somebody read.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you, Hector.
I'm a little slow.
That's okay. We'll come
we
back
love you,
to
Hector.
You. All right,
I'm
somebody
here.
Read.
Amen.
Okay.
Anybody?
Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls
Remember
filled with
seven.
The seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Oh, continue.
Yes.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like the most precious stone. like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the holy city, right? Jerusalem. Amen. The new Jerusalem. Amen.
Angels.
The angel is the one that's been showing. This is one of the angels with the seven bowls, but that has already happened.
Oh.
That with the seven bowls, it's just the same. Which angel? Remember, we went through all that, right?
Yeah, the seven bowls and the seven bowls.
So this particular angel says, "I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." Okay,
yes.
And it's the Holy Jerusalem descending from heaven.
Amen.
This is a literal, like I said before. This is a literal city. This is a literal place, and it's called the Bride, the Lamb's Wife. Amen?
Amen.
And it's where all the people of God will gather. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, this city, and we're going to get into it. Amen? And it says, let me show here. Precious stone. Her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper. Clear as crystal, amen. So John is seeing this city, this radiant light, this shining city. What is he seeing? What is he seeing? It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God. It's the glory of God that's going to light this city and is lighting this city. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, there have been times when people have experienced the Shekinah glory of God, the light. Here on earth, we have experienced that, but we have not experienced it to the extent, because we, in human form, in flesh and bones, cannot endure it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I remember I was in church one day on a prayer night. And the past, I started dancing in the spirit, and I was saying, why don't they turn the lights out? This light is too much. I can't take this light. And when I opened my eyes, the sanctuary was dark. That's just a taste of the Shekinah glory of God. I experienced that one night when I was sleeping. The Shekinah glory of God is gold. It's gold. You see this gold light. So we've experienced that at a tiny, tiny, minuscule level. Could you imagine this city shining the glory of God? Hallelujah. Mm,
yeah.
Hallelujah. Radiant.
Blind us the way we are now.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a sun. He is the sun.
Exactly. And it says that. Exactly. Amen. And then it says like jasper. Jasper comes in very varied colors. The jasper stone comes in many colors. The most common color is red. But this says clear as crystal. It could be red, clear as crystal.
Uh-huh.
But it's so clear. It's so radiant. This city that's coming from heaven is a holy city. It is where the presence of God will be with us. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a literal city coming out of heaven. If you've in the scriptures, it tells you that the tabernacle in the Old Testament, everything was a replica of the temple in heaven.
Amen. Yeah.
So, everything is a replica. So this is literal. This is not nirvana. This is not something from the imagination. Amen. This is not a spiritual city. This is a literal city coming down from heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's referred to in various places in the Bible. Amen. About this city. Hallelujah. Galatians 4:26, Hebrews.
Hallelujah.
I can give you the scripture that, you know, but this is a literal city coming down from heaven called the bride of Christ. We are the bride. It's called the bride because the bride will inhabit the city, right? The bride of Christ will inhabit the city. Now look at the description of this city. First, it's radiant, it's shining, it's the glory of God, hallelujah, coming down. Now, how do they describe this city? Let's go to verse 12. Verse 12, Revelation 21,
12. Mm-hmm. Is that my cue?
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's your cue, Hector.
All right. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates.
Wow.
On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Amen. And read verse 13.
There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this city has a great high wall. Amen. Now, walls in the Old Testament were defense, right? For defense, right? They would build walls around the cities. Amen. But this wall is not for defense because there are no enemies anymore. Right? Mm-hmm. But it's to give definition. It's to show you, and we're going to get into the definition of the city. There's a great high wall. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the great high wall, it also shows this, that some will be excluded from that city. Amen. Only the righteous can enter that city.
Children of Israel.
And I used to think a lot about that. And then I realized, sure, they can't enter because they're in the lake of fire.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The unrighteous can't enter because then they are not present with us or surrounding us. Amen. So there's a wall to give the place definition, to show you that this is not a cosmic thing. You know, this is a literal city. There's a wall. Amen. Now it says 12 gates, right? 12 gates. And who are the 12 gates named after?
The 12 sons
the
of
12 tribes.
The 12 tribes of Israel, right?
Children of Israel, yeah.
The 12 tribes. Why? Because God will never forget Israel. God will never. He chose Jacob to have 12 sons. Amen. Hallelujah. And they're all through the scriptures. Amen. God will never forget Israel. The people of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Into eternity. I mean, it's not any other people, right? It's not Americans. It's not Chinese. It's not. It's the Jews. I mean, Israel. Because 12 tribes. The tribes of Israel. God will remember them into eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You'll never forget the 12 tribes of Israel to name the gates. Amen. Amen. Let's read it. 12 gates. The city has 12 gates.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the gates are positioned, three on the east, three on the west, three on the north, three on the south. Doesn't that remind you of the tabernacle? When he had the tabernacle, he told Joshua, these three tribes you'll put here on the north, these three on the south, these three on the west. These, you know, so that again enforces that that he will recognize the tribes of Israel into eternity. Amen. He will never forget them. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to verse 14. You should be getting a literal picture of the city. You'll get more. But begin to imagine the city based on what we've read. Amen? So somebody read Let me 14. Get Elizabeth. You have verse 14, Liz?
Yes.
Read verse 14.
And he that, okay. And he that talked with me had a
goal. No. Revelation 21:14.
I'm on 15. 14?
Yes.
And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Wow. So the wall, right, has 12 foundations. Underneath the wall, you have foundations. The wall is on top of the 12 foundations. What does that tell you? Huh? Hallelujah. Man. And now the 12 apostles, permanent testimony of them.
Wow, it's amazing.
Right? Yeah. And so don't we read in the scriptures, right, that if the church, well, how is the church built? On what foundation?
Firm foundation. Christ,
of the apostles and the prophets. Apostles and the prophet, with Christ being the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says in Ephesians, you can write this down, Ephesians 2:19-20 says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. This city, recognition of the apostles, these were 12 men that gave up everything to follow Christ.
Oh, Jesus.
And 12 men that were martyred.
Yeah.
They were martyred. I mean, John lived until he was 90, but prior to that, they tried their best
to do away with him.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So now 15, verse 15. So look, imagine you have this brilliance of a city, this brilliant city coming down from heaven to the new earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the glory of God is shining. And we see a wall. And then we see foundations, right?
Yes.
With names of the apostles. And we see gates. So you're getting a picture. If there's a gate on the north and the south and the east and the west, then this city has dimensions, right?
Yes.
See a square, something, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now let's talk a little bit more about it. Let's go to 15. Verse 15, anyone read it?
And he said, and he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall.
Amen. And read 16.
The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. Okay. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal.
Perfect.
Amen. Amen. So it's a square, right?
Yes, yes. A square.
The height, the width, the length. It's a square. Amen. And it says, I looked up 12,000 furlongs.
I was just going to say.
It's equal to 1,500 miles.
Whoa.
Okay. If the distance is like from Maine to Florida.
Yeah.
To Florida.
A square, okay?
And a square. In so a it's square. More 10,000, 15,000 by 15,000
Yeah. Big.
Hallelujah.
Height of it are equal.
2,000 miles high.
Mm-hmm. 1,000 furlongs. What's a reed?
So if you say 1,500 by 1,500, it's 2,250,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing math.
It's the size of The United States, maybe.
Now that almost, but not quite. The city, well, let's get there. The city is too large to imagine a city.
That I big. Mean,
you know, we live in cities, you know, and we know it's not that big, right?
Right.
Now, this is his name is L. Morris. These are different theologians that I want to quote. Amen. This is what he said. This is the same distance from Maine to, wait a minute. He said, a city of this size is too large for the imagination to take in. John is certainly conveying the idea of a splendor, and most importantly, that there is room for all.
Amen.
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 What else? This is what else he says? He's guessing that there will be, Morris is guessing that there will have been 100 billion people in the human race throughout history, and that 20% of them will be saved. Calculated, that would mean that each person would have a block, 75 acres on each, you know, for each, right? For their own. So, you know, it's highly speculative, right? But it illustrates that there's going to be plenty of room for everyone. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there was another quote where somebody said, and I forgot to write it down, that it's bigger than the moon, like the size of the moon.
Wow.
I don't understand it, but let me find that one. Okay. But here, I'm verse 17. At least I read verse 17. Do you have it?
Yes, sorry. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel.
Amen. Yes, Vinny.
I'm mute, Vinny.
You're muted. Unmute.
So, a cubit is like an arm's length from here to here.
It was supposed to be from here to here. It's about like, I believe at that time it was measuring 18 inches.
Yes.
Okay. So the measure of a man, that is of an angel. So they call angel, you know, like a man, but it's 66 feet.
Wow.
Giants.
Yeah. The wall, right? Then he measured the wall. The wall is 66 feet. Amen?
That's big.
Of this city. Okay. So let's talk about the wall.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Verse.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't read verse 18, please.
How long is about? 6 feet.
Who hasn't read? Hector, have you read? Naomi?
I read, but I'll read again.
Okay, read 18.
The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass.
Amen. Read 19.
The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone.
And then it gives us a list of the stones, right? Read the stones. The first was?
The first foundation was jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, agate. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, onyx. The sixth, ruby. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The 10th turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst.
Amen. You may have different words because you're reading a different translation, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So it says, let me get a clear as glass. So the construction of the wall is of jasper and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. So we spoke about jasper, that it comes in many colors. Mm-hmm. Most common is red. So the city shines, all these jewels, you know.
Wow. Beautiful.
Could you imagine the radiance coming out of those jewels?
Think of a kaleidoscope.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that radiance, you know,
amplified,
making them shine like that, the radiance of God. Again, the glory of God. And then again, like I said, the shiny gold, but it says was pure gold, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. Who has seen gold that is clear as glass?
Not here.
Could you imagine that city? Could you imagine the Apostle John is trying to describe
It. He's trying to
see. That he's never seen before. The glory of God shining through all this. He's trying to describe this city. Amen. And it's glorious because it reflects the glory of God. Amen. Mm-hmm. But when you read those 12 stones, did it bring remembrance to anything?
Yes, the plates that the right.
The breastplate of the high priest.
Yes, right.
Those, and what did those jewels represent?
The 12 tribes.
The 12 tribes of Israel.
Israel. Yes.
Again, you know, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I say, careful what you say about Israel.
Yeah.
Yes.
They are not yet redeemed, but they will be redeemed. The word of God says it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't mean that you curse anybody else out, because you do not do that. But
Israel
is true. Like they say, the apple of God's eye. He chose them because he felt like it.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 21.
The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city were pure gold, like transparent glass.
Amen.
Amen.
One pearl for a whole
the
gate.
The 12 gates. Remember the gates? Then the gates had the names of the 12 tribes.
12 tribes of Israel.
Right?
Yes.
So now each gate
was how big?
Of one pearl. Could you imagine a giant
of one pearl?
Ooh.
Yes. Wow.
Streets paved, not paved, but streets were pure gold. They weren't paved with
they
gold.
They weren't paved. They were gold.
Like transparent glass, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
We sing a hymn in Spanish. You know, we used to sing a corito, a chorus.
I know already.
Right? About Jerusalem, and I would walk on the streets of gold.
Calles de oro, mal de cristal.
Yeah. Crystal sea gates.
Amen.
So the gates are made of one pure, of one pearl. Amen.
Wow, amazing. Wow.
Transparent gold. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this what John is seeing, he's not trying to imply the wealth of the city.
No.
He's trying to imply the holiness and the
holiness
of
right.
God.
Sure.
Amen.
Sure.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
City of pure people.
And this is what another theologian, Walvoord, says. The constant mention of transparency indicates that the city is designed to transmit the glory of God in the form of light without any hindrance. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I want to say something. You know, we may feel all these dimensions. And is it enough? You know, when we think, when some say it's as big as the moon, others say it's like the square footage and the size from Florida to Maine. And then there's height, right? Because yes, it's a perfect square or a perfect cube.
Right?
The perfect cube. So there's space above, right? There's space above. So when we think of this, right, it sometimes to me it's a little like confusing at times, but who's the architect?
God.
God. So we're not going to comprehend
right
in our human mind, really, this city. We can imagine it, but our imagination is not the perfect imagery of this city. So we know that God is the architect. God made it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's go to verse 22. Let me see.
Amen.
All right, I go.
Go
ahead.
I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp.
Is its light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We had no need.
Wow.
No need.
No temple. No, and the Old Testament, the Israelites worshipped in a temple, right? They had a temple, amen? But the New Jerusalem doesn't need a temple. Why doesn't it need a temple?
Because of God.
The temple is there already.
The entire city is the dwelling of God. God is there, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You don't need a sun to shine because the glory of God. You don't need the moon. Amen. Hallelujah. Because later on, I don't know if we read it.
The Lamb.
But you don't need a moon because it will never be dark. It will never be dark. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lamb, hallelujah, is its light. So the Lamb, it's not a lamb, right, everybody?
Yes, Jesus. Right.
It's Jesus, is light.
Yes.
So can you imagine the glory emanating from the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's not going to be any distraction. This is going to be a place of pure worship, amen? I mean, that we can see the Lord, and within our beings, we can worship him, hallelujah. There's no distraction. There's no distraction from recognizing who dwells in this city. You know, when we go to church, there are a lot of distractions, right?
Yes.
Right. Even though we try to worship and all that, there are a lot of distractions.
Yes.
But there will be no distraction. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our focus will be on the Lord, on God and the Lord Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And verse 24 says,
the nations will walk by its light, and kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. No day will its gate ever be shut, for there will be no night there.
Amen. So night is usually when theft takes place, right? Theft, you think of theft, you think the gates, you close the gates of the city to prevent others coming against you, but there's no need for that. There's no need. There's no night. The Lord is its lamp. Amen. The nations of the earth will come to give glory. Now, here's where you start to think, right? At least I do. Does that mean that the nations of the earth are outside of the city?
That's what I was thinking too.
Or are they inside of the city? I don't know.
I'm thinking if the gates are open and nothing bad, no sin can enter, but those that have made it to heaven can enter into the city.
Right.
So I'm thinking there is a city, but the world around it is full of other saints and stuff like that. So that's what I'm
thinking. Yeah. So that gives you that impression. Amen. Because like Vineet said, why do you have gates? Mm-hmm. If you know, so the nations of the earth, so that is an implication that there will be people outside of the city. Amen.
Yeah.
Outside. But these are all born again people. These are people that have accepted the Lord. Right. And the kings will bring gifts and glory, you know, honor to God. Amen. Right. That's the impression. But like I usually say, research.
You can't fathom
it. No, you can't. But research. Because that's what came up in my mind. Amen. Mm-hmm. The gates will not be closed. Amen. There's no reason for the gates to be closed. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. So this is going to be light, it seems to me, emanating everywhere, right? Because the nations shall walk in the light of what? In the light of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So the implication here is that there will be others outside of the city.
Yes.
Amen? But that the light of God will shine throughout.
Yes.
Amen. That's what it, Amen. But like I said, and 26 says, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, into the city. You have to be outside to go into some place.
Right.
Right.
But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Right.
Doesn't that bother you?
Mm.
Oh, why is that true?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Why does that bother you?
Because
I'm in heaven. I don't
think defiled.
Yeah. You're not.
Go ahead, Mark. Because those people are in the lake of fire, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So this is like an exhortation to the present. To the present. Come to the Lord. Because you're not going to be able to enter this kingdom if you don't come to the Lord. Because it can't be at that time. Because at that time, those who have not accepted the Lord will have already been thrown into the lake of fire. Amen. Mm-hmm. So this is an admonition to those present today who have not accepted the Lord.
Yep, get on.
Because the defiled cannot enter, because they will have been cast into the lake of fire. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, verse
chapter
21 is about this new city, this new heaven, this new city that's going to come down to the earth, amen, where God is going to dwell with his people and we are going to be his people.
Amen.
Think about where we're going and think about the people that you love and share with them and ask the Holy Spirit to open a door for you that you can speak to them. Amen.
Amen.
Because they will not receive if it's not an anointing from the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So you have to ask the Lord, you know, help me, Lord, give them a receptive heart to hear what I have to say. And look for that opportunity. Amen. And don't beat anybody over the head with the Bible. Share the love of Jesus. Tell your children, your grandchildren, your family members that God loves them, that God has made a way for them to spend eternity with him and tell him that's where I'm going and I want you there with me. Amen.
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 God bless.
Amen.